Hey everybody, it's Rob and Rick. Welcome back to the Nomad Pastor Podcast.
Glad everybody's here.
Yeah, it's been a good week.
It's been an awesome week.
Weather's amazing. Times are
right. Yeah. We actually got out and rode today a little bit. Going to ride again tonight.
Yeah, it'll be amazing. We've got a chapter meeting tonight, so I'll be riding a little bit to that.
We're going to go visit a clubhouse.
Yeah, it'd be good.
Yeah.
It'd be good. So look, we're gonna take a break just for 1 week from the parables.
Yeah.
Right? And so what we want to do is we want to just do some topical today.
Yeah.
And I think we want to talk about vision.
Yes. Yes.
And a man's vision.
Yeah. And how that needs to be directed.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah.
Do you want to start or do you want me to start?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
It's a hard one, right?
Yes.
But, you know, as we start, we do this men's Bible study.
Mm-hmm. Friday morning.
We do it every Friday morning and at, you know, the crack of dawn. And nobody has coffee yet, and everybody's, you know.
Everybody's like sipping on their coffee while we're trying to get the meeting.
Trying to figure out what's going on.
Right.
But as we do this Bible study, we do it, and it's 30 virtues that build a man.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so this vision is a virtue.
Right.
And so part of this virtue is, as we started it this morning, it talks about how God's man leads others with vision.
Mm-hmm.
So like your vision for their life or what they do in their life. And, you know, we talked a little bit last week about how I had said, I don't want my kids to think I'm a great parent. I want them to think I'm a great man because of what they see.
Right.
You know, they see Christ in me.
Right, right.
And to me, that's like a vision, like almost like a vision casting. And you hear of churches doing vision casting.
Right, right.
I probably didn't explain it good, but.
Well, no, you did. That's fine.
I did it my way.
I did it, man. So let me ask you this. So what, having kind of that we talked about last week, at the end of the podcast last week, about how being what our kids see in us, right? Yeah. How does that shape the vision that God has given you?
Well, I feel like, you know, for me, it shapes it because it makes me conscious of listening to God,
mm-hmm.
and that I'm doing everything I can to represent Christ.
Yeah.
In a positive light.
Right. 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 Yeah. Yeah.
That I'm not representing Christ negatively.
Sure.
And so when I think about, you know, God's vision for my life,
mm-hmm.
I recognize that it's small steps that I can't, you know, it's like the whole how to eat an elephant. It's like one bite.
Yeah, one bite at a time.
Right.
Yeah.
I can't go from A to R, right?
Right.
There's B, C, D, right? There's mm-hmm. all these letters in the alphabet. And those are all steps.
Yes.
Right. Do you remember the cartoon Pilgrim's Progress? Did you ever see that? It was a book, I think, right?
I'm reading that book right now.
Reading the book right now. There's a cartoon. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. It's amazing. But in the cartoon, he's carrying the backpack, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he's putting all this stuff in it.
Right.
And, you know, and all this stuff has to come out. And when I think about vision, like God's vision for me, it's that process.
Okay. Okay, I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I look at it as a growth process.
Yeah.
You know, the same kind of the same thing as the Pilgrim's Progress.
That's right.
And
That's right.
things in the Bible. Yeah. So the way I see this is what God has laid out for me. I don't see the end game.
Mm.
I don't see what the final result is.
Yeah, I don't know.
And I don't have a clue.
Yeah.
Right? But what I do know is what he's walking me through today.
Yeah, what's next.
Exactly.
What's right now that
right,
I need you
right.
to do.
And how I can glorify him and obey him to serve him in that process.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about a long time ago about how our devotion to God, to some people, when we call ourselves slaves or bond slaves to Christ, you know, how some people take offense to that and go, well, why are you going to let somebody else rule you like that?
Why are you a slave?
Right,
right. Do you want to be a slave?
Right, but it's through my obedience that I obey that way, right? So I don't know what the end, what I'm going to end up being in Christ, other than knowing that I'm going to be in Christ.
That's right.
right? And what God's vision is for me from today until whatever day that is, whatever the end day is, you know, I don't know what's going to be in the next day.
Yeah. And I feel like that vision
right
today, it's the vision is Jesus.
Exactly.
Not Jesus plus.
No, no, right? It's only Jesus.
It's only Jesus.
Right.
It's not Jesus plus I'm going to go do this. Jesus plus I got to do this. Jesus.
Right, right.
Anybody who preaches a message to you, Jesus plus anything.
Is wrong.
Is wrong.
Absolutely wrong.
Period.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
It's not Jesus plus you got to wear a suit.
No.
Right?
No, it's not. And so there's a story about two churches in Kentucky. One's called the Peg Church and one's called the Non-Peg Church.
Okay.
Okay. And the church split because a preacher wanted to put a peg on the wall, just put a peg on the wall to hang his coat on when he walked in the door.
Hmm.
And one side of the church was for the peg, and the other side of the church was not.
Hmm.
And the church split over a peg. Okay? Here's my point with this. We get caught up in so many things so many times that we lose sight of what God is showing us in that vision to the point that we want to divide and cause division so that our points and our selfish things and desires and ambitions are put before what the vision God has given us is.
Yeah, we're blind to the vision.
Exactly.
We let the world dictate what we what we care about.
Yeah.
Right? I know I've been to many churches, and so have you.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Many churches that would be like, oh, you can't do that.
Yeah.
I can't open that door?
Yeah.
No, we never open that door.
Why?
We never let people sit there.
Yeah.
Right? Or the person who has been going to that same church for 20 years.
Sitting in the same pew.
That always parks in the same spot, sits in the same pew. Yeah. And then you park there and you sit there because you're a visitor.
Yeah.
And they're like, I don't know where to sit.
Yeah.
Somebody's in my spot.
And the hymnal in the pew back.
Somebody's in my spot and they touched my Bible.
Yeah. Yeah.
They touched my version of the hymnal.
Yeah. And that little knitted shawl that I have there to cover up my feet with when I get cold.
Right. Because they don't see the vision. They don't see God's vision.
Yeah.
They now, see theirs.
I understand a routine.
Yeah.
Don't give me, I'm not saying that you got to go in and take, you know, Little Miss Susie's stool and prayer shawl.
Right, but you don't do it intentionally.
No, no. But at the same time.
I mean, some people might.
Well.
That's a whole nother podcast.
That's another podcast. And that's a whole nother topic.
But look, a vision, right? A vision is a picture of the future.
Right.
You know, it addresses some problem and provides a solution.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's how it is.
Yeah. And in seeing that, knowing what God's vision for us is and knowing what we're supposed to do to walk out that vision and be involved in that vision.
Right.
Is being engaged in the Word of God.
That's right.
It's being in study of the Word so that you know the author.
That's right.
Not just the words on the page.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody can quote something.
Yeah, I could quote the back of a milk jug.
One got my picture on it?
Yeah.
Oh,
as a matter of fact,
it is.
But you're right. Anybody can quote anything, and anybody can quote any scripture.
Sure.
But do they understand it? Do they see God's vision through that scripture?
There was a great example of how we just take for granted things. One time, this guy comes in and he says, "I want to quote a scripture to you," and he goes, "Everything that you see will be yours if you just bow down." Hmm. And I was like, hold on. Isn't that what Satan told Jesus in the wilderness?
Yeah.
And that was exactly what he was quoting.
That's right.
You know, but we get things so twisted sometimes because we want our own interpretation. We want our own way. We want our own comfort.
Yeah.
You know, instead of following what God is telling us.
There's a lot, you know, we said we're going to do another podcast, and we're still going to do it, but there's a lot of movements today.
Yes.
You know, I did several podcasts about progressive Christianity,
mm-hmm.
several podcasts about Mormonism.
Mm-hmm.
We could do several about every religion that there probably is.
Yeah.
Right? But there's several movements today that I think have lost their vision.
I agree.
Right? Their vision isn't Christ. Their vision mm-hmm. isn't on the Bible or what
no.
heard in the Bible.
No, it's not.
Right? It's what glorifies them.
Them in a feel-good moment.
In a feel-good moment.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, with applause and accolades.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
And where does that get us as a Christian body?
Well, I think it hurts us.
It absolutely does.
Right? It hurts us because people see Christians, and it's kind of, Christian is like all lumped together.
Mm-hmm. And we get
and
looped
like, well,
into
you're
that.
Just yeah. like those hypocrites down the road.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know? Are you that guy who cast out demons? Right?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that can't occur.
I'm not either. Right?
I'm not saying that that can't occur. I'm not saying that people can't speak in tongues.
No.
Because it is biblical, but it also says in the Bible that there will be somebody there to interpret it.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
So if you're at a church and they're speaking in tongues and there's nobody there to interpret it, it's not biblical.
Several years ago. Yeah. So, and we've talked on different podcasts about, you know, when both of us got into the motorcycle ministry world, right?
Yeah.
So several years ago, when I was with a very large association,
yep.
Okay, we would go to the VA on Mondays.
Correct.
You've been there several times. You were there with us.
Yeah.
BFC would go too. Yeah. Anyway, we would go into the VA in Nashville and pray with vets.
Yeah.
Went in this one veteran's room one time. Was great, nice guy, really nice guy. He looked like he was younger than me, and I'm about to be 54. At that time, I was probably 45, maybe, you know, so he may have been early 40s. We walk in, visit with him for a little bit, and then we ask him, you know, hey, can we pray with you real quick? And he was like, yeah, if you don't mind if I pray too. I'm like, sure.
Yeah.
So he stands up out of his bed. We're all, you know, holding hands in a circle, kumbaya, right? This guy starts off in a Hyundai and buying a Tuesday. You know, I didn't know what he was saying.
Right.
None of us in the circle knew what he was saying. I don't even think he did.
Right.
Right? I have an issue because of scriptural examples of what that kind of language has to require.
That's right.
With an interpretation.
That's right.
I have an issue with that.
I do too.
And to this day, I remember this guy's face. I remember, hear me out, folks, when I say this. I'm not calling this guy to damnation.
Well, it's not for us to do.
It's not for me to do
that. We can't
do that.
Right?
We
cannot judge somebody's salvation.
Exactly. What I am saying, though, is what we read in the scripture and what I witnessed that day were two different things as far as speaking in tongues and interpretation. Yeah.
And I think as a Christian, let me back up a little bit. First, I think a lot of Christians are afraid to take that stance.
Yes.
Right? But I think as a Christian, we have to take that stance.
We do.
Right? Love isn't acceptance.
No. Or tolerance.
You're right.
Right? Right.
Which I can go on a whole tangent about tolerance, right?
Don't get me started on it. We'll be here for 2 hours.
You know, because you and I know we've talked about this before, but I like to always ask the question, you know, of other people, are you tolerant? Do you believe that you're tolerant?
Yeah.
Right? Because if you believe that you're a tolerant person, tolerant really means that you are going to tolerate somebody having a different opinion. Right.
Yep.
I don't want to say argument, but if you start the discussion with, "Do you believe you're a tolerant person?" and they say yes, and "Do you believe that you love me?" and they say yes, because they're all about love.
Yeah.
Right. Love everybody.
Yeah.
Well, if you're a tolerant person and you love me, then you know that love isn't acceptance because you don't accept what I believe.
Right. Yeah.
And usually they don't really know what to say at that point.
Yeah.
But
and here's how I like to treat it too. You know, you say, wait a minute, you love unconditionally,
yeah,
on the condition that I'm of the same opinion that you are, right?
That's right. That's right.
That's how I like to, you know.
Yeah. Or you can say, you love unconditionally. Do you accept that I can?
Yeah.
That I can love you unconditionally? I don't have to agree with you?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. We went down a tangent.
We did. We do that from time to time. But still yet.
But it's still part of the vision.
It is part of the vision.
Right. Where,
it is.
Where, what is your vision? Not your vision. What is God's vision for your life?
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. And what are you doing to figure it out?
That's a huge question.
That's the question that
I think nobody's asking that.
Nobody is. Nobody is asking that. Yeah, and the problem with that is we miss that answer, let alone the question.
Yeah.
We miss that in so many circles of leadership.
Yeah.
And in general body, and I don't want to call it gym pop, but
right.
I mean it is.
You know, what's interesting is
a little bit of my story.
You know, we've been going to Crossroads Fellowship.
Yeah,
right. Out on Tucker's Crossing.
Tucker's Crossing. Yeah. Yeah.
Great pastors. You know, they do Celebrate Recovery. You know, they're doing a bunch of great things for their community. Maybe two or three, maybe 3 weeks ago, maybe 4 weeks ago. Right before the sermon, I think, right after worship had finished, somebody in the congregation got up and was speaking in tongues.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of let him do his thing and just, you know, moved on. They didn't really acknowledge it or anything. And then he did it again the next week. And the pastor was like, okay, we're going to address this. Like, we're going to have a conversation. We're going to talk about what is biblical.
Really? Praise God.
Right? Because the Bible says there's got to be an interpreter.
Right.
Right? And while he may feel spirit-filled, it's a distraction if it's not done the right way.
Right.
Period.
Exactly. There's no question in it.
Right?
Yeah.
And so they had the conversation one-on-one with him.
Yeah.
Right? They didn't call him out in front of the congregation.
Well, sure.
Right? Like, but they still had a conversation.
Yeah.
And that's how it's supposed to happen, because they know the vision that God has for their church.
Right. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Vision's important.
Acknowledging. That's the thing.
Right.
Acknowledging it and finding out what it is and how to follow it. You know, do you remember the first time that you were actually called to a motorcycle ministry?
Yeah, I think I do.
I do too.
I was riding with another club.
Uh-huh.
Right. And I had started, you know, this walk with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And we're at an event somewhere. And I kind of looked at him and I go, I ain't supposed to be here. And I went to the boss, the chapter boss, and I said, I think I'm supposed to be doing something else.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, what are you talking about? I said, well, I don't think I'm supposed to be here anymore.
Yeah.
And he said, what? Now, it wasn't a big club, right?
Right.
But he said, well, if that's how you feel, then I'm going to support that. I said, I think I'm supposed to be, you know, using my life for God.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, okay.
That's
how cool. Do I help?
Yeah.
You know?
That's cool.
And so we went, I went online and ordered all of the large association information.
Yeah.
Right? And then, you know, they send you a video.
Yeah.
Right? You got to
fill out the questionnaire.
You got to watch the video. You got to do all these things, right?
Yeah. Send them $20 and it's on.
I never got to send the $20 part.
Really?
I started watching it all and. Linda goes, hey, we should go to the Easy Riders convention. I said, maybe they'll be there.
Yeah.
I'll just push pause on this. I'm not going to send anything in. Maybe they'll be there. And so we go.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, there's CMA, there's Soldiers for Jesus, yeah. there's all these, yeah. you know, ministries.
Yeah. Sons of God and everything.
Sons of God. Yeah, yeah. And then there's our local dominant.
Mm-hmm.
And right next to them is Bikers for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And they're eating pizza together.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
what? Yeah.
That's where I want to be.
Heck yeah.
I want to be right in the
yeah.
mix.
Yeah.
And so we went and started talking to Joe and Hammer.
Yeah.
And the rest was, well, here I am.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I just felt like, you know, I had just read the book, A Call to Courageous Manhood.
Mm. Right? Good book, yeah.
Oh, Lord help me.
Yeah.
I read that book and I went to Lynn and I said, I don't really think I'm a man.
I would never admit that.
Like, definitely I wasn't the man that was leading our family to Christ.
Right. It wasn't the definition that you read in that book.
I was not a godly man.
Right.
Right. Did I go to church? Yep.
Yeah.
Did we pay our tithing? Yeah.
Yeah.
Did I do whatever I wanted, you know, Monday to Saturday? Yep.
Yeah.
I did. Because I was checking the box, right? I'm a Christian.
Right.
I do what God wants me to do. Yeah. And then I read that book and I was like, oh, Lord, help me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Have you ever seen, you know, Right Now Media does conventions every year.
Uh-huh.
And I think it was like the 2019 convention in Dallas. And Joby Martin is preaching.
Yeah. I like Joby Martin.
And he comes out on stage, and it's, you know, you're preaching to a bunch of pastors. That's what the Right Now Media conferences are. And he comes out on stage, and he says, you guys are going to learn some stuff today. He says, did you know Lou Giglio's here? He said, he's going to come out here and preach to you, and some of you are going to go, I don't know if I believe in God. He's like, I'm here to make you feel good.
And Giglio can bring it now.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He's like, did you know Matt Chandler's here?
Uh-oh.
Like, I mean, he's just going through this list of people. Yeah. Like, I'm here to make you feel good about yourself. Because what's coming, you're going to question everything.
You're going to question it all, yeah.
But when I read that book, that's how I felt.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know the vision.
Right.
That God had in my life.
Right.
I was wearing blinders.
And that's where... that's where growth comes in.
Yeah.
You know, I remember.
What about you?
So learning what the vision was in my life, I knew that I had this call for to be in ministry to the motorcycle club world.
Yeah.
I knew that was there. You know, I grew up on bikes.
Yeah.
In 2000, I don't remember what it was, 2000, anyway, something like that. My dad had a motorcycle restored for me.
Okay.
It was an old Suzuki. And when I got the bike, brought it home. Had a bunch of problems with the bike, right? And it was blowing oil out of the valve cover on the right-hand side and one of the cylinders, right? So I'd ride to work and have oil all down from my knee to ankle, right? Yeah, yeah. You know,
I had an old Suzuki. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, an old GS model. Yeah. So anyway, I knew then because you'd stop on the side of the road, put some oil in or something like that, you know. And
they were worse than Harleys back then.
Back then, they really were.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, somebody would stop you. All right, brother, everything good? Everything, you know? And I knew right then, here is an avenue for me to fulfill what God wants me to do in the Great Commission.
Yeah.
You know, I knew it at that point. Where I realized how it would actually happen was actually at a Tres Dias when I was a candidate.
Okay.
When I went through Tres Dias in 07. Now there were still some things that that God had to work out in my life, you know. I hadn't started recovery yet.
There always is, right?
Right. I had management skills in my addiction, but I didn't have recovery yet.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So the very first night we're there. Mm. Very first night, they said, you know, what do you think God is asking you to do? And that realization at that point was, God wants me to minister in the 1% world. You know, but I found out I didn't have a clue what my spiritual life should be like. Now, I've been, I was baptized into Christ and became a Christian May the 10th of 1980. Mm. We're talking about from 1980 to 2007. That span is there.
Right. That you didn't know.
That I didn't know.
Yeah.
But I found out what grace was and how to be intimate with grace. Mm. And what that grace means in my life. It's not a get out of jail free card.
No, no.
It's not a keep on doing what you want to do card.
Preach. That'll preach.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what I found out.
It has for a long time.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is that's when I realized what the vision should look like from God. Mm. And to find out more about this grace.
Yeah.
To find out more about what that intimacy with God through this grace is.
Yeah.
I had to dig into the Word.
Yeah.
I had to dive into the Word. And that's when I found out what the vision was.
We had a friend of ours, Two Plates,
mm-hmm.
right? And I'll never forget something he said to me, right? When he was really starting down his walk.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, you know, saying like, he struggled at first, like, how could God forgive me?
Yeah.
Right? I've done all these things.
Oh, I had that same, right? Yeah.
And he said something to me that I've never forgot. And it has helped me tremendously day to day. And I probably haven't told him how much it's helped me every day, and I probably should,
mm-hmm.
right? But he said to me one time when he realized how much of an ego did he have to have, what kind of chip on his shoulder did he have to think that, you know, God couldn't forgive him.
Oh, the God of the universe. Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
I thought, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
How much of an ego did I have to think that I know better than God who he can forgive?
Yeah, and
that's vision.
That is vision.
Right?
That is vision.
And I, you know, I'm going to see him tonight and I'm going to tell him.
Yeah.
Because that's a huge thought, right? When you really sit and think about it, like, how big of an ego do I got to think I know better than God?
Mm.
Who you can or can't or will or won't forgive.
Yeah.
The Word says you're forgiven.
Mm. That's kind of like somebody that says, I've done too many things to be saved.
That's right. That's right.
You know, you don't clean up your life to come to Christ.
No, no.
You come to Christ and he cleans up your life.
That's right. That's right.
That's the whole point of forgiveness and salvation.
That's right.
That's the whole point of redemption and repentance.
That's right.
That's what that's about.
Amen. Right?
It's not a, look, I can bring this sparkling resume to you, Jesus, what can you do with me?
Yeah.
No, I'm poor, I'm wretched, I'm broken, I'm messed up inside, God, fix it.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus, for what you have done.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord, for the cross that I have this opportunity to come before you so that the things that I have done can be wiped clean.
Yeah.
Somebody may remember them, but you don't.
Right.
Praise God.
Right.
You know, and we get so torn up in what we can do to tell other people about the scars and the things that we have and the shock and awe that we can, let me tell you about my story. I don't know. I want to hear what God did in your life, not about your story.
Do you think people forget that, though?
Yes. Yes.
It's so easy.
Why do you think they forget it, though?
I think, not for me today,
mm-hmm.
but I think people are afraid to tell what God did in their life out of fear of being judged by the world.
I agree with that.
You know, I've told you, you know, and maybe I think I've told you, my testimony of being in the hospital with Linda. Maybe I haven't.
No.
Oh, Lord. How much time do we got?
We're
at 29 minutes right now. You know, Linda had surgery, right?
Yeah.
And she's had a couple resections, and she had had her second resection. She's at Vanderbilt.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing the church thing,
mm-hmm.
right? But we're not, like, really doing the church thing, right?
Yeah.
You know, at this time, I'm still kind of doing whatever I want to do.
Uh-huh.
Not really going to church, you know. And she had had surgery, and it was over Christmas break.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to, you know, get it done before the new year because we had already met her out of pocket. So we're, you know.
Yeah.
Well, don't get surgery Christmas break because all the doctors go on vacation and you're stuck with interns.
Yeah.
Right. Well, what had happened is her intestines hadn't woke up yet and they started feeding her. So then she had a blockage.
Mm.
And we weren't married yet. I'm sitting in the hospital and I accidentally kicked the bed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know what I was doing, just being stupid. And she was in so much pain, and her mom was there, right? She's in so much pain that she's like, get out, right? Like, the devil himself came up.
Yeah.
Get out of this room. Don't ever come back. Well, I didn't leave. I just went to the hall and sat in the hall and waited.
Yeah.
Well, the next day, I'm sitting in her room again. Now, this time, they have fed her. She shouldn't have been eating. And they've got tubes in her. They've pumped her stomach. They've inverted her. Like, they had to do all this emergency stuff. They filled up 9 of those big old things of bile out of her intestines.
What?
Like, she looks like she's got so many stuff in her, she looks like she's dying.
Oh, my goodness.
Right? And, just give me a minute.
Okay, I'm with you.
I'm sitting in the chair.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear plain as day, pick her up.
Yeah.
I ain't touching nothing.
Yeah.
You know what happened yesterday?
Yeah.
Ain't happening. As perfectly audible as it could be, pick her up.
Wow.
A second time. I'm like, I'm hallucinating now, right? But then it was like forceful, almost pushing me out of the chair, pick her up.
Mm.
I picked her up out of that bed,
mm-hmm.
and she opened her eyes and looked at me. Tubes in her, everything. A couple days later, she says, why did you pick me up? I don't know. I'm sorry. I am so sorry. I know I wasn't supposed to touch the bed. I'm sorry. She says, no, I was dying, and I was praying for somebody to save me.
Oh, wow.
And it took me 2 years to tell that story out of fear of judgment and ridicule.
Oh, Rick.
That's when I got serious about God.
Yes.
But even then, I still thought I just have to go to church on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I just got to check off the box.
I'm checking the box now because, like, clearly I got to go.
Yeah.
Right? I was baptized after that, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, that was when it started.
Mm-hmm.
I was still riding with another club. I was still doing things, partying and hanging out and doing whatever, right?
Yeah, right.
But that prayer, right?
Mm-hmm.
That she prayed.
Mm-hmm.
I guess what I'm saying is people need to listen.
Yes, be right? receptive.
If I wouldn't have listened, she may have died.
Whew.
Right? But I didn't tell anybody for years because I was so afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started this because I feel like people are afraid to tell their truth, their story. Not just like, here's what's going on in my life, but sometimes people are afraid to tell their story of Christ in their life out of fear.
Yep.
And we have to recognize that sometimes, I think we kind of, when somebody's telling you their testimony, that's precious.
Yes.
And we have to treat it as precious.
As precious. Yep.
And I think a lot of times people don't because they listen to speak, they don't listen to hear.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Or they're listening to top that story.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yep. Oh, man.
So we're talking about vision.
Well, part of that vision has got to be open to what the Holy Spirit is moving you to.
Amen to that.
It really does.
Yeah.
And I think that's the way that we find out day to day what that vision is being open to what the Holy Spirit is moving us through, but at the same time, staying connected in the Word.
I'm glad you said that, because I think it's two things. I think it's not just staying connected in the Word. It's talking to God.
It is.
Right?
It is.
I can read my Bible all day, sure, every day, front to back. If I'm not in communication with God,
mm-hmm,
if I'm not in prayer, that's like an open line of communication.
Right.
Right? It's like I picked up the phone and he answered every time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? When you dial 911, they answer.
Yeah.
Right? When you pray, God answers.
Exactly.
It's really simple.
But here's the thing, though. We're talking about not just staying in the Word, but talking with God. Satan quoted Scripture.
Yeah.
You know, you don't think that other people know what the Bible says? Yeah, they do. But are they going to live it out? Because are they speaking with God the same way?
Right.
Do they know what his vision for them is in their lives? Do they, because they are in communication with God? And I'm not saying, people, that I'm the only one or Rick is the only one. What I'm saying is there are bad people in this world who may be able to quote Scripture and go, well, what about this in the Bible? But yeah, are they living it out because they are staying in contact with the almighty creator of the universe, the Alpha and the Omega?
Right.
And that's the bottom line.
I don't know how else we need to land this plane.
I don't either. I think that is for people to understand that the vision that God has for you in your life, for you to be able to understand what that vision is, you have to stay connected to him in his Word and in conversation with him through prayer, so that you can be open to what the Holy Spirit tells you to do, whether it be to pick your fiance up out of the bed because she's praying that she's dying and she wants help.
Right.
Or whether it be, go speak to that homeless person over there.
That's right. That's right.
That's the thing.
Amen.
So, hey, everybody, we're glad that you listened in today. Thank you for listening in today. Remember, we are on every single podcast platform and on YouTube as well. So mash that subscribe button, hit the bell for notifications. And
share it with your friends.
Share it with your friends. Share it on your social media. And if you have a question, if you have a prayer request, if you have a request for an episode for us to do, send us an email at hello@nomadpastor.org. And always remember to love God.
And love people.